everybody, and welcome to Two Ladies in the Kingdom, where there are actually two ladies in the kingdom this time. Emma and I have been doing something a little different where we're trying solo podcasts as well, but we also do podcasts together. So this is our first time together in a while because my internet was jacked up. But hello, Emma. I haven't seen you in a while.
Hey. Hey, back together again.
And just a quick shout out to our sponsor, Low Blow, who makes the only functional and actually outright amazing female groin guard. They also make male groin guards, but Emma and I, being women, love the female groin guard very much. So we have a discount code, and you can find that in the description. So check out Low Blow for sure. It's L-O-B-L-O-O. Yeah, so Emma, what's going on with you?
Not too much. I just started training. Well, I've been at Eminent Air this week, so that was pretty cool. I was meaning to go there for ages, but I've basically been broke for a while. so I was there this week, and then yesterday checked out another new gym that's near me, which is not too far, but it's cheaper than Eminent Air, so I was kind of just trying to figure out which one I'm going to be at for a while. Last time I spoke to you, I think we talked about how I was waiting for this other gym to open. Mm-hmm. I was going to be at. I've probably been talking about that for fucking ages. That's what it feels like. Every time I ask them, when are you going to open? They're like, next week, next week, next week, maybe next month, next week. And so I just stopped asking. So I kind of was just like, I'm going to take control of my shit and just start training somewhere. I'm just going to have to pay. So... yeah, no, I'm at Eminent Air at the moment. I'm going to be going back there tomorrow, I think, to hang with Melissa, because she wasn't there when I was there earlier, so that's cool. It's kind of outrageous that we've both been living in Bangkok for this many years and have not met up. It's ridiculous. yeah, so I'm really enjoying being back in training at the moment.
Well, yeah. What was the experience of Eminent Air? Because it's been a very long time. It is relatively close to you, and it's been so long that it took you to finally get over there. So what was the ultimate experience of it?
It was cool. Actually, I don't know how the morning sessions are different from the afternoon sessions, because I went there with my friend Colton, who he'd been there before for an afternoon session. He said there were, like, way less people, which is what I like. Mm. There was one other lady there, but I don't think she was a fighter. I think she was, like, a beginner or something. She kind of turned up towards the end. But there were, like, four or five, like, foreign dudes. And it wasn't like some of the other gyms I've been to where they have, like, the Thai fighters and the foreigners totally separated and they don't train together at all. Like, everybody was sparring together, and it was fun.
I saw in your photo, Satan Fa was there. He was training in the morning.
Yeah, I sparred around with him.
That's awesome.
Didn't go very well for me, but it was fun. Yeah. And then I really enjoyed the pad work, yeah.
What is the process as someone living in Bangkok? Because you have the particular difficulty in that you already have a job. So you have to find somewhere where you can train in the morning. And you say that there are fewer people in the morning. That's been my experience in every gym I've ever gone to, is that most people show up in the afternoon. And sometimes the morning training, can be so much lighter. They don't do pad work or anything like that. So you have the hindrance of having to work around your job and where you actually live, whereas people who are coming to Bangkok from somewhere else can find the gym and then find where they're going to live from that.
Yeah.
So how do you, like, you just went to this guy who's from Warapin Gym. Like, how do you find these gyms that are around you?
This one, actually, it just came up on, like, a Facebook group. There's, like, a Bangkok expats Facebook group, and someone just posted in there, like, my friend just set up a new gym, everybody go down there. So that's how I found that, just by chance. Mm. It actually, do you remember a few months back, I talked about going to this other gym called Luen Lom, and I first went there, and there was nobody there, and it turned out they'd moved to another location, and nobody told me. But this gym is set up in that place.
What?
So it's taken that premises and just turned it into a new gym, so, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was cool. Yeah, it's really difficult when you already have a job and you're already settled in a place. I'm also not, like, in the center of Bangkok. I'm kind of not even in Bangkok. I'm more in Simut Prakan. So there's not a whole lot in this area. I live here because it's cheap. and it's really near my work. But There are a ton of gyms in Bangkok, but most of them actually are on the complete opposite side. Like, around where I am, there are a lot of these new wave, like, high-so fitness Muay Thai gyms, you know?
Yeah.
And some of them I contacted, they were like, oh, we don't train fighters.
Right.
There was one that opened up, like, at the bottom of my road, basically, and I was like, do you guys train fighters? They were like, no. I said, do you know anywhere around here who does? They were like, Master Toddy's. I was like, okay, thanks, bye. Yeah.
It's kind of, from someone who doesn't live in Bangkok, it seems mind-boggling that it's so hard to find a gym there. Like, when I go and train at, like, Chut Chai Sasakun, because that's on Romkom Hang Road, when we actually look on Romkom Hang, which just goes forever, there's, like, 12 gyms just on that one road. And, like, his new gym opened a 5-minute walk from his old gym, which is, like, a 3-minute walk from Sasaprapa. It's crazy. It's, like, they're all packed in there. But it is the same as this Thai style where, like, you'll see the same type of business all clustered together and then nowhere else. It's very odd. It's not the way it works in the West, for sure.
Yeah, and sometimes when you look at the map and you'll be like, or for someone who doesn't live in Bangkok, it might be easy to be like, well, this gym looks really close to you on the map.
Right.
I don't remember which gym it was that Kevin pointed out. He was like, you go to this place. I was like, that's going to take me like an hour on the BTS. That's not but on the map, it sometimes looks really close together, and with Bangkok traffic as well, it's a whole other, like, element.
Yeah.
And, like, it's about morning training. That is another thing that's kind of annoying, because I can only train in the morning. I work in the evening 6 days a week, and most of these gyms, some don't even train in the morning at all.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, when they do, they're like, oh, we just come in and we, like, shadow box and we hit the back for a bit and that's it. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay for that.
Yes.
I could do that by myself. But Eminent Air, it seems like they actually only spar in the morning. I don't know if that's right, but that's what I was told. Because I haven't been to an afternoon session, I don't know. But I heard that they only spar in the morning.
Interesting.
That is more convenient for me.
Yeah.
Even though it is more expensive, I kind of just have to bite the bullet and just do it.
I know that they're very expensive, but is there, like, per diem, just drop by costs very expensive as well?
It's like 500 baht.
Oh, it's not crazy. It's not like Yokao then, price.
No, but Yokao is 500 baht too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like, you shouldn't be paying more than 500 baht for a drop, and that would be ridiculous. But then if you're going to be doing, like, for one drop-in, it's fine, but, like, if you're going to go all of the time, it adds up very, very quickly.
Yeah.
A lot of these places do, like, 10 sessions for this much. I think at Eminent Air, it was, like, 10 sessions for 4,500. And then this other gym I went to yesterday, he was like, I'll give you 10 sessions for 2,500.
Mm.
So it's a big difference. But at the moment, that gym is only that dude.
Right.
It was really weird going in. It was just him sat there in this, like, dusty gym, just nothing. But he was really cool. It was nice to just get one-on-one work with him, and he seemed really up for it. He was like, I'm going to do an event at my gym in 6 weeks. Do you want to fight? I was like, whoa, hang on.
Oh, that's cool, though.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and train with him some more. Because if nothing else, it's like you pay for a group session and you get a private. So, yeah, I can't really complain.
There's been a lot of gyms opening up in Pattaya now. Like, they seem to just be kind of cropping up everywhere all of a sudden. And Pinu told me yesterday that the, like, Muay Thai authority, they come and they do, like, inspections, basically. Like, you have to get checked off because of regulations and blah, 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 and all this stuff. But what they're actually checking for yesterday is if the gym turns out to be owned by a Farang and not a Thai person, you have to pay an immense fee. You pay taxes if it's owned by a Thai. So I think that it's in the paperwork, like, who actually owns it. But apparently a couple of the gyms here got hit really hard. Like, the fees are really
high.
That
does not surprise me at all.
No.
It does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
The gym I went to yesterday, the guy, because he speaks very good English, he's lived in Sweden for, like, the last 8 years.
Mm.
And he just moved back here, and he was like, I'm not going to charge, like, Farang and Thai people different prices. I know how you feel. I'm going to make everybody pay the same price. Don't worry, I'm not going to overcharge you. I was like, okay.
So we could segue into this women's fight by talking about your other job. You work for the guy who does World Muay Thai Angels, but he also has connections to various all-female fight cards in general. So you and I have talked about that experience of working for him, but what's your experience of how that's going right now? Because it's actually something that was gaining momentum. World Muay Thai Angels was going to happen, and they were announcing their card, and now they've moved it to April?
Yeah, April now. It's been mental. So they contacted me in April last year and, like, sat me down and offered me a job. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we've created this position for you. We had a bunch of meetings. It was all really exciting. They had all these ideas, all these things they wanted me to do, and it was great. And it was like that for a few months. And, you know, I was working for them, but kind of like freelance. I kind of just did my things at home, sent it to them, and then they paid me. And things slowed down a lot, of course, you know, when the king died and everything. Everything stopped for like a couple of months. But I feel like the date has changed a lot. If originally it was going to happen in November, December.
Right.
Then it was like December, January. Then it was like February, and now it's April.
Right.
It seems like everything is just up in the air constantly. Everything's changing. Now, seeing as they've changed the date to April, I feel like all the fighters are going to change. Because it was a while ago that they said they were going to start announcing all of the fighters who are going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. But now, since they've changed the date, I think it's quite clear that they don't really know what's going on. So I'm not even particularly in the know about this show. It was difficult for me even to get them to pay me. So yeah.
Well, this is something that I'm not working for these people, so I don't have to experience it on the regular basis that you do. But even just in the past like 20 days or so, I've helped numerous promoters fill their cards on a very, very tight last minute basis, which can be because of like visa issues, so they lost two of their fighters, so they need to replace someone right away. Or this fight in Hua Hin, they basically had booked Farida to fight Cao Sang without checking whether Farida was in Thailand or not. So it was like last second someone let them know she's not here, and they had to like find a replacement for Cao Sang, and it was a mad scramble. And everyone I talked to, they'd already had like four people ask them, which I've been on the receiving end of that, where like 10 people ask me if I can fill in a fight. And so they basically just like put everyone in to work to try to find someone. And, ultimately things get done. Like I basically will have a promoter tell me, you need to be here for photo shoot press conference tomorrow, which for me is a pain in the ass, 'cause I have to get to Bangkok and rent a car and all of these things. And it's not like, yeah, I'll just drop everything and go. But that's business as usual. That's not like these people are particularly unorganized.
And as someone who like works in Thailand, I can tell you that shit is all the time.
Yeah.
There's this one lady who's always contacting me to do like corporate teaching. She has all these factories. She wants me to teach her employees. And I've told her like a million times I'm not available. And she's always texting me. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago that I got a line message, a text from some lady who obviously got my number from this other lady, and nobody had told me that, you know, she's given out my number. But she texted me at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night asking if I would work for her, if I would teach at her factory. And for like a Western person, it's like, what the fuck are you texting me at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night for? Not even like, oh, I got your number from this person. Just, oh, hi, come and work for me.
Yeah.
And I was really pissed off.
Yeah.
That's just normal. That's just how it works. I mean, the amount of times I've... Because I finish work at 9 p.m. The amount of times I've been told at 9 p.m. that I have a meeting the next morning. Like, you just get tired of being frustrated about it. Because that's the way it goes. When I worked for a government school, I remember getting a text at, like, 11 o'clock. Like, oh, we need your medical certificate by tomorrow. So that's not even possible. But this is the shit they ask you to do. And with working with Muay Thai Angels, that was a thing as well. Like, they knew I had a job and I worked 6 days a week, but they would always ask me, like, they would give me 5 minutes notice to be somewhere.
Right.
Like, I have a job. And every time I would tell them, no, I have to work, they're like, oh, really? Oh, okay. You know this. That's just how it works here. There's a lot less kind of regard for your free time.
Yeah. But good things come out of it too. Like you can, you know, for example, when they were trying to fill in who's going to fight Cao Xing, Candace Mitchell was on a plane flying from Canada to Thailand and was going to touch down 2 days before the fight. And so I'm like texting her while she's on the plane, and before she touched down in Thailand, she had that fight. So she basically just had to cut, you know, the weight that she had to cut after some holiday time off, which I'm sure was not fun. But like, where else in the world can you be on a plane and get a fight like as you're doing that? So there's definitely the positive side to the absolute chaos as well. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's frustrating for people like in the West, like having to wait months and months for a fight, you know. Yeah.
And then it falls through anyway.
So, well, yeah, and then your opponent pulls out the day before.
Yeah.
So when all these promoters are asking you to, like, fill their cards, are you kind of just doing that as a favor?
Yeah. I mean, part of it is that I want women to get on these cards. So it's, you know, filling that card is meaningful to me. But it's also being someone who you can contact in order to try to fill these cards is it is just being helpful, but it's also being a good resource, which I would like to become a good resource in the sense that I would like to be able to advocate for Thai women going abroad. You know, like if you can get Thai promoters talking to you, you can potentially get good relationships with those people so that you can get those Thai women on cards abroad or you know, different opportunities that way. I was at the last Cao Xing versus Candace fight, and I was actually getting my oil massage while it happened, so I didn't see it until I saw the like live feed that went up. So the whole controversy around that was, for me, like after the fact. But it was really exciting to have that rematch as a possibility, because I know Cao Xing wanted it, and I know that Candace is game. So to be able to pull that together is exciting for me, too, because that's something I'd like to see. And I actually, my fight got canceled on that card. And so it was a little bit of saving face for me where, I understand why my opponent's coach was pissed that my fight was canceled, because that means that his girl can't fight. But at the same time, being able to fill a far more significant fight on that card, puts me in better, standing with the promoter for sure. So
what did you make of that, women's fight show?
So there was a lot of like behind the scenes stuff going on for me personally because of that, because Lek Pormongpet, who has two girls my size, loves to contact me to fight because he has two girls my size. So anytime he wants his girl on a fight, he can grab a Farong, which is easier to get on these cards, but he only wants me to be readily available for him. So if I have another fight, he's like all pissed off that like I don't cancel all my other fights for him or whatever. So there was background stuff going on with that where he was really pissed off because I had fought just before. So because I fought on TV and this one was going to be pretty well promoted, you can't fight that close together. So I was basically like trying to distance myself from the card because of this like kerfuffle that was happening with Lek, and I actually did try to get someone to fill in my position so that Gao Da could still fight on that card. But when I watched the fight on TV, and I fought for this promoter before, but when I watched the fight on TV, I was like, oh, I'm not upset that I'm not on this card. It wasn't bad. It was very empty. Like, it seemed like there was nobody at the venue.
Yeah.
And it wasn't poorly promoted. Like, they had, you know, put up some very nice photos, and it was being advertised on different places that I was seeing. And they had fucking awesome fighters on that card. Like, I was super excited to see Pet Da Pi because I love the way that she fights. And then Cao Xing, I'm a huge fan of, so I was excited to see her, even though she didn't make it on TV. And then Ticha, I'd seen at a previous fight card with this same promoter. So it was, in some ways, the same card that this guy does all the time with the same problems with it, I think. But I think at the same time, I just get Like, I love that they're all female fight cards, and he pays pretty well, so, like, I hold him as, like, this is a good promoter. But then there are also these super bullshit things about it. Like, I had seen the stuff they were going to be fighting in because they did a promo thing that I couldn't make it to, and his clothes get smaller and smaller every show. And the rounds are short. They're all three-round fights, and the way that they promote women is just this, like, dollhouse thing that I'm not into. So I don't know.
One of the shows, I think, I can't remember if there's one you fought on. I think it might have been the Songkran show that you fought on that he did, where some of the winners receive, like, sashes.
Yes, is that one, yeah. Ashley Nichols got, like, a sash.
Fuck off. Fuck off with your sash.
He was not the promoter, but he was co-promoter with your Muay Thai Angels boss on this show that I just fought on. And we fought in full makeup. Like, I've fought with, like, lip gloss before because they understand that you're actually fighting. So, like, they'll just do a little something because they're like, we'll do a nod towards Women River. I haven't worn that much makeup possibly in my life, but definitely not since I was, like, 14 at the mall getting the, like, makeup or whatever.
Did it run into your eyes?
I don't think so. Like, I don't remember being, like, aware of makeup in my eyes, but I definitely, like, when I was putting Vaseline on my face, I was like, how do I do it? Like, how do I not, like, because my nose was just, like, completely
makeup on.
Yeah. And when Karahat showed up, he was like, what the fuck is this? I
was like, yeah. Well, yeah. And how early did you have to get there to put that on?
The show started at 6, and they wanted us there at 3.
That's fucking annoying.
So I lived in Thailand, so we got there at maybe, like, 3:45, because we were like, no. And I was the first one there. I think everyone else showed up. I think my opponent showed up at about 4:30. Like people were not, like, in a rush. And I don't know, the makeup is whatever it is, but then they also, like, do your hair, and mine came out within, like, 20 seconds. It's just, like...
It's dumb.
Oh, for the love of God. Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna have someone to do my hair for a fight, fucking do it right. Just put elastic bands in it by myself. And also, like, asking you to turn up 3 hours early, like, I could be napping in that time. I would be so grumpy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of hung out in the office, and it happened to be that Lomani's trainer was sitting next to me, and he had two of his young fighters, and one of his fighters was on the card fighting against Casey from Sinbi Muay Thai. So they were in there getting their makeup done after me, and I was just sitting next to him, and he was, like, showing me photos on his phone of his young fighter who got, like, 14 stitches in her head the night before, and just kind of, like, shooting the shit and hanging out with people, which was kind of cool, but really boring, because you've been in that office building. It's just, like, it's just an office.
The Sports Authority of Thailand, like, the grounds are pretty cool. When you go in the office, and it's just like any other office. It's so boring. But did you not see signs for, like, Muay Thai Angels around the place?
Well, what was weird is that right outside of the office that we were in front of, it's Muay Thai League, which is a blue sign,
is the other show, too.
And then World Muay Thai Angels, which is, like, a reddish-pink sign.
Yeah.
So I guess they, like, share an office, and that's the, like, basically male thing and female thing that's going on at the moment.
No, they're run by the same people. It's the same team that do both shows.
Yeah.
And this Muay Thai League that literally nobody knows about. Nobody knows about that show.
I was curious.
So hopefully Muay Thai Angels will fare a little better.
I was curious about this this fight in Hua Hin, the women's fight, which is called women's fight. I don't know if that's just, like, a poor grasp of English or if that's just, like, what they want to call it. I don't know. They had this, like, promo thing maybe 11 days before the fight where they all went in and had photos taken, and that's, like, what became the poster. And it didn't look like they had to do the whole, like, full makeup thing, which I'd done for this promoter previously, but that was just photos. Like, you didn't have to do that for the actual fight. But the interesting thing about the Hua Hin fights is that was teamed up with the WMC. So there were two or three fights which were actually four titles. I think two. It was Pet Dapi and Ticha were both defending their WMC titles. And so there's this, like, degree of seriousness to it And both of those women are on his cards before and kind of held up as this, you know, featured fight and that kind of thing. But those women aren't carried over into the kind of, like, glamour fights. Like, Pet Dupuy is not on these, like, glamour shows. And she's so awesome, you'd think that they'd be trying to, like, push her.
And that's the thing. When I was in the office for Muay Thai Angels, I specifically said to the boss when he was... Because one of his jobs that he wanted me to do was to get the fighters, suggest all the different fighters that he wanted on this show. So I said, Pet Dupuy, for sure. She's at that weight, and she's fucking awesome. And he looked at me and went, you think she's beautiful? And I was like, oh, fuck off. There was no convincing him at that stage, you know?
But it's this double thing where, like, one, she shouldn't have to be because she's amazing. But two, she is. Like, she's hot. Like, Pet Dupuy is badass. Yeah. And, like, I don't see it. I argue with Pinu all the time about what Thai people find is attractive and what Westerners find attractive. And I know that there are Westerners who Thais are like, oh, so beautiful. And I'm like, really, though? So it's like, it kind of is just different eyes kind of thing. But it's, I'm constantly in this state of conflict about these promoters who are promoting women and they're doing good things and it's all female shows and, like, the money's pretty good, very good compared to, like, what women are being paid when they're, like, one of six male fights on a card. But I don't know where you draw the line of, like, but not that bullshit, right? So it's like, this is all good, but that's some serious bullshit. So to what degree do you have to kind of put up your hands and be like, okay, I accept all this other stuff because this part's good, and then to what degree are you like, no, that's not good enough? Like, no.
That was a conflict I had working with Muay Thai Angels, because at the beginning it seemed all very awesome when he was like, I want the fight to be in Lumpini and I don't want women to go under the ropes. And I was like, holy shit, okay, amazing. And then like a month later he was like, I talked to Lumpini and no, we don't need to do that. And then he was like, I want the ring to be pink, I want the lights to be pink, I want them to be wearing pink, and I want them to have a pink moncon with diamonds on it. And I was like, for fuck's sake. It just went the complete other direction. And he even said to me, like, the fighters, he said, I want them to be beautiful first. That's the most important thing. So that was kind of disappointing.
Mm.
But it's like, I really want to be part of this show. It's an all-female show. It's like the biggest female show. And it is doing good things. But when there's so much extra bullshit that there's kind of like a conflict there.
Yeah. It was interesting to get Candace on this Cao Sing fight because she really wants to be on Muay Thai Angels. Like, Candace has her eye on Muay Thai Angels, which, living in Thailand and talking to you, and we're kind of simpatico on this, that's not something that you're like, really, I want to be on Angels, even though you respect it for the kind of show that it is. But, like, she's now in direct contact with promoters who are kind of in that circle. But it's interesting because that is like a high level of female Muay Thai that you can see someone wanting to be on, but it's also incredibly limited in, you know, it's only one weight class and things like this. So it's kind of tricky. Like, it's nice to have people aiming for that and people who are very excited about that, and they're very, very high-level fighters who were on the first season, who, you know, in other parts of the world now are top of their game, like Joanna Champion in the UFC. But it's, I don't know, it's like it has five different faces or something.
Yeah, and there's some stages with Angels where I've been like, do you actually want to promote female Muay Thai, or do you want to do, like, bikini jello wrestling, because that's what it sounds like. You know?
So just changing gears a little bit, you just had on your solo podcast, very intense solo podcast and a very great blog post on sexual assault in Thai gyms. What has been your experience of A, actually recording that, because that was not a small thing for you, and then B, what has been the response?
It was really difficult to record. I felt really bad because I took so long to do it, and it took me like 6 attempts. Part of me would just like build it up so much in my mind and wanted to like prepare for it so much, and like I was really worried about I had to be perfect and I had to say things this way and I had to include this, and that I think I just put, I was too anxious about it. Once I actually did it, it felt like a massive like release, like okay, that's done. But I was anxious about the response. I thought that there would be some kind of negative response. Maybe weird isn't the word, but the response from people close to me has been very, very quiet. Mm-hmm. It's actually only one of my close friends here who actually reached out to me and was like, I listened to your podcast. Others, I don't know if it's, they didn't see it, they didn't listen to it, or if it's just like really weird for them. So I kind of get it. But the response from people who follow the podcast and, you know, or on the forum and stuff has been really awesome. A lot of people have reached out to me, which is great, but also kind of worrying and depressing hearing how it happens so much, you know, yeah. Because it is happening to other women in other gyms. So that is kind of bittersweet in that way.
Yeah. I think I've found that more and more it's this kind of like, you'll hear a lot of people kind of come out of the woodwork once someone says something, but nobody wants to be the first one to say something. Like, nobody wants to be the first voice, but they'll all add in, like, yes, this is my thing, and there's, like, a strength in that. But there's something very, I guess, worrying about how people will not put themselves in a position of being the first, I think, because there's so much fear of what the backlash is going to be. And I think that with my own experience, it was like, wow, none of that was negative. Like, everything that came back after that was very positive and supportive for me, and I was, like, really overwhelmed by what that was. But that fear of backlash and that fear of not being believed, or that fear of, like, you're not supposed to talk about these things is real. Like, it's not, oh, I discovered I was wrong about all of those things by how supportive everyone was. I think it's just that being able to say me too instead of being the one who, you know, describes it first is a little bit safer. And I don't know what the approach is to make it more safe for women to be the first one to say something.
No, I think if someone else had posted about it before, I immediately would have been like, yeah, this happened to me too. But it took me years to come out and say it myself.
But that's the
and
thing.
I was worried about what
is that you
what
did
people I like. Yeah, carry on.
I'm sorry. It's that you did. You have said this happened to me first, but then actually saying what specifically happened is like the specifics are the hardest part. And there are women who say, yeah, me too, who still don't tell their stories. Like, it's still easier, not only easier, but safer to just keep it in this vague, like, statistic kind of thing.
Yeah. I was also kind of worried about, you know how when I talked about it and how everyone in that gym was an asshole, basically. and I talked about specific people there who were dicks. And I was kind of worried, like, oh, what if these people choose to respond to it, or, you know, if they come across it, and A, I highly doubt they will, but B, it's like the huge response, like positive response, and like in the female Muay Thai community is so much bigger than just a few dickheads. Mm. So, yeah, I'm not worried anymore.
It's an interesting combination of that comic you just put up of the woman who's like, I decided to take Muay Thai to kind of like empower myself against all of these like feminine social hindrances, despite all this feminine hindrances along the way where she's like, sorry, like while she's training. It's a combination of that, yeah, of women not wanting to state things that happened because it might make someone else uncomfortable. And then in the movie Office Space, yes, there's this guy whose name is Michael Bolton, and he hates when people compare him to Michael Bolton, the musician, and so they're like, why don't you just go by Mike Bolton? And he's like, because he's the one who sucks, why doesn't he change? And so it's just like, everyone at your gym was an asshole, and if they come across it and they're like, you bitch, yeah, you made me look like an asshole, it's like, but you're the one who sucks. Like, why should I be quiet?
Exactly.
You're the one who acted that way, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's funny how none of those guys in that gym are actually, none of them were actually fighters. Like, I think they might have been the kind of guys that came to Thailand and had like one or two fights, but just got pissed up the rest of the time, just came and drank and then went home again and did something else. I'd be very surprised if any of them even do Muay Thai anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's a difficult thing, though, because in Thailand gym culture, there is probably a majority of guys who are just here for, like, the tick mark experience, and then there are some who are here to be fighters, but they kind of do the social thing as well, is that you're here to experience something that maybe you don't come here to be a fighter, but women ultimately end up coming back to be fighters very often, is that you think you're stepping into this very serious gym, which is just going to focus on making you a fighter, but you're also basically stepping into a frat house. And it's the same place.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you can completely avoid the fact that both of these things are melded together.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it is annoying as, like, a woman's come into that environment and have these dudes who are just like here to party, not really taking it seriously, to be taken so much more seriously than you are when you actually want to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you'll get pads after them and stuff in some gyms. It's really fucking annoying.
There's a kid at my gym, and he's actually a kid. He's Western, and his dad wants him to be a fighter, but he's kind of not into it, so it's really uncomfortable. Because he's got a shitty attitude because he's not really into it. But then there's this constant push because his father really wants him to be, you know, the next whatever Furong fighter in Thailand. So he keeps getting all of these fights. And Pinu has, like, a good attitude towards, he just has to get the experience. So he has him fighting in the bar. And then the dad has this, like, snooty attitude about his son fighting in the bar. He wants him to have fights at Max and at Lumpini and things like this. And I'm like, your kid's not gonna be fighting at Max and Lumpini anytime soon, but there's talk already of him getting a fight at Lumpini, and it just, like, it's mind-blowing how unfair that is, and there's just nothing to do about it. like, knife it's in great. Your side kind of thing.
Yeah. Max Muay Thai especially, it's like, on a weekday show, any fucking bum can go and fight there. If they have a penis. We don't have women fighters because they're not exciting enough. So enraging.
Yeah. It was interesting when I posted my photo of, like, my full makeup. I got a number of people being like, why do they make you do that? And I'm like, the onus is not on me to explain why they make you do this. Like, I also can't explain it without my super judgy perspective on it. But it's, you know, Thailand's not the only place that does that, so I have to kind of, you know, say what this version of it is. But, like, you're asking the wrong person, because I'm like, I just want to fight, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucked if I know. Lian Crosser gym, they have it all the time.
Yeah.
And I did see a photo on Facebook ages ago. This, like, little boy, I think he was, I don't know, he could have been, like, 8. I don't know. But with these Thai boys, sometimes it's hard. You look at that kid, like, he's 8, and they're like, oh, he's 14. But I think he just came out of a fight, and this boy had, like, a full face of makeup on with, like, blusher and everything. I knew who it was.
Was he Katoy, or was it, like, a Leke thing?
I have no idea. I'll send it to you.
Nice. Alright. Kevin's like, is it going? Then make it go.
What is that?
Alright. No, it's very choppy.
Yeah.
Okay, then go on this phone.
Alright, we're gonna turn on the phone.
Okay.
What did you think of the Petapi fight? Wasn't that the first one?
Was it? I feel like Tisha's fight was the first one.
Maybe. But Petapi fought that.
That's not important.
From Bella. But,
I fucking love watching Petapi fight.
What is it about her? She's so awesome.
I feel like she should be way more well known than she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like her. She fought, what was her opponent's name? Was it Elena from 13 Coins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen her fight, not in person, but like on a couple of like live streams from Hua Hin and stuff before. Really? I don't know how long she's had for. Yeah. I don't know much about her, but I've definitely seen her on like posters for Hua Hin and stuff, so maybe she's been here for a little while.
Yeah, they kept cutting to Sangmanese, like to show that she was at Sangmanese gym or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of
fighting with two watching this because he thought that he was like, anywhere else in the world, the foreign girl would have won, and I was like, no, she didn't win. Shut up.
based on what? She was.
And
punching?
He said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know because she was throwing a lot more punches, I think, and I remember her throwing a spinning back fist. That's all I remember.
I thought Kevin was showing me some, like, but he'll have, like, the video that he's editing of something that I've done, and he'll, like, look for photos within it, so he's, like, freeze framing. And so by doing that, you see patterns, right? And so he was sending me all of these freeze frames of me closing my eyes on the ends of my punches.
Right.
So it's like you close your eyes, like, as you're doing all of these things. Petapi, like, looks you in the goddamn eyes. Like, her, like, expression in the ring of, like, looking at her opponents and her just, like, physicality of how confident and aggressive without just being, like, this forward. It's the difference between dominance and aggression, really. Like, she's got this, like, come-at-me thing without it being this, like, kind of constant motion thing. Like, every single thing that she throws has a meaning to it that's not super strategic. It's just, like, this is gonna fucking hit you, whether it does or not. And it's just, it's very, very cool to see that in female fighters at all. Like, it's very, very cool.
Yeah, I really like her style. She's kind of scary.
She fights everyone, too. Like, every Westerner I can think of from, like, 54 and up, she's fought.
Yeah.
But she used to have a different name, right? She was Porcal before?
Yeah, that was a while ago, right?
Do you know, did she change gyms? Why did that change?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because now she's at Bangkok University, right? I mean, I don't know how long she's been there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the name that she took when she joined university.
Yeah, it's because the Grung Thap
She fights out of there now.
Yeah, because Grung Thap Thonburi is one of these, like, sports schools. They'll have girls who fight with that name when they're with the school, but then they'll also have a gym name from, like, their old gym, like Grasshoppers, like that, where she fights under, like, two or three different names, right?
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of.
Yeah. Although I think that her titles are with the Grung Thap Thonburi.
Yeah.
Name.
And all of those shows that she's fought on, I don't think I've seen her lose on one of those.
I don't think so either, but they're hard fights. Like, she's fighting very, very good opponents. She recently, her fight, her title is at 57, but I guess they weighed in at 56 for that one. And then just a few days ago, she was cutting weight down to 54 for some kind of fight. So I think that she has like a, that 57 is kind of the top of her range, which for Westerners, that's so crazy that you would have like your title at basically your walking around weight. And like, and then you're able to kind of like move within 3 or 4 kilos, which is a lot of weight. That's like 10 pounds.
Yeah, it is actually.
Yeah.
I don't see her fighting on any other shows. I don't know if she only fights with this promoter at the moment. Do you see her anywhere else?
I haven't seen her. I mean, I pretty much, because I don't see shows as they're happening. I basically read about it in WSIM, but I haven't seen her name coming up the way that it used to. So maybe she's, because she's in school, maybe she has someone who's more in control of her career, but she used to fight down on Phuket more often, and now I see Mary fighting down on Phuket somewhat often, and they're kind of similar size, so maybe now that she has that title, they're kind of more selective in the shows that she's on. Like, they want her to be on better-paying shows.
When you say Mary, you mean as in the Mary?
Mary Verona Farm, the one I fought for the WMC title.
I just thought it was funny that you were saying they were similar size and also saying that, you know, they fight at like fucking 57 kilos. Just saying.
Mary is a little bit smaller, but if I fight people much bigger than myself, but if they were like, do you want to fight Pet Dapi at like 54 kilos, I'd think about it. I'm not winning that fight, but we'll see what happens.
But yeah, why not? Yeah. That was the thing about you just fighting Zaza. I mean, I always knew that she was, you know, like 50, 51 kilos, but I never thought she was tall.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Seeing you and her next to each other, she's so much taller than you.
Yeah, I didn't, I had not realized how tall she was either, and it was actually when we got to the Sport Authority the day before for weigh-in, and we were behind her and Leo Pinto when they were, like, getting in the elevator, and she's, like, his height. I was like, this chick's tall. Like, I had no idea she was that tall.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that size difference.
It was an interesting fight card. They kind of seem to be deciding that the female fights would be 3 rounds during weigh-in. Like, they were taking our photos with, like, Dodo next to me, and Palm, the promoter, was like, oh, we want to fit both female fights on TV, so we'll make them 3 rounds, and then just kept it at 2 minutes. Just basically cut 2 rounds off of the fights. This guy, Jared, from Australia, thought that because my fight was 3 rounds, his fight was 3 rounds, and I'm like, no, you're a man. So he, like, found out right before his fight that his was 5 rounds, and I'm like, I'll take his 5 rounds, but I don't want to fight 3 rounds.
Yeah.
Like, that's total crap. But it was kind of an interesting experience, because I had asked Karohat to corner for me, and he said yes, but then he just wasn't there for, like, up until about 30 minutes before the fight, he wasn't there. So, I had gone over to Sangtia Noi's gym and asked them to help me with, like, the oil massage, and then I wrapped my own hands, and I basically was in this headspace of, like, I just might not have a corner, I might just have to grab someone to come dump water on me, like, whatever. And then Karohat just strolls up, like, he had taken a car cab instead of a motorbike cab, so his timing was, like, completely crazy, and he just shows up, and he's like, what's going on? I'm so sorry I'm late, blah, 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 but it was this, like, last second, like, okay, he's here now, like, now I have a corner. But the way that I fight and the way that I kind of, like, ask people to help me you know, last minute, or like the other girl who's on the card, do you have anybody who can come give me a massage? Like, yeah. You'd think I'd be super used to it, but there are times like that time that it just, like, when it's 30 minutes before your fight and you're like, I don't know if I have a corner. It's a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That's fucked.
It's interesting. But now I'm, you know, now I'm going into Asan tomorrow for another fight. And I've dealt with this promoter before, so he'll help me find a corner. So I know someone will be there, but it's very strange to, like, have developed this routine where, like, I'm talking to the promoters, I'm the one who's, you know, figuring out my corner, I'm booking my fights, and because things change all the time, and because I want these relationships to last, because generally you have the relationship between your gym and that promoter, but for me, it's me and the promoter. I basically have to say yes to, like, every single fight. And sometimes they fall through, and that's disappointing, and then sometimes they'll just, you know, appear out of nowhere, and you just gotta go rent the car and go, but it's very crazy. Like, I don't know other people who are doing this, so I don't really have someone to be like, hey, when this happens, what do you do? Because, like, I'm the one doing it, so I don't have a guidebook, really.
So who are you fighting next?
I fought her at the same place a couple months ago. I think technically she's from Loma's gym.
Okay.
But she only trains at Loma's gym sometimes, so she has a different gym name. She's pretty big. I think she's 52, maybe. But I won the last time. It was that fight where, like, Kem came into my corner. And since we'll be in Karat, I'm going to try to have a private with Kem the next morning, so...
awesome.
Yeah, these opportunities, okay. You just, like, you throw them all together. It's like you have a fight and a awesome private training session with a fucking superstar at the same time. So it's always good. Yeah.
That's awesome. Is that the only fight you have up there, or are you kind of going up there for a few and then coming back down?
No, I have another one scheduled at the end of the month there, but I think that this one will determine whether that one happens on schedule. And then okay. I'm supposed to be going back up to Chiang Mai, like, in the late teens of this month. So this month is very, very busy in terms of fights. I kind of won't have time for training. It's just traveling around and fighting. But there are times when I have, like, a month where I can't find any fights. You really just have to, like, have these crazy 5-6 fights in a month and then try to, like, store them like a squirrel in winter for times that they're not around.
And you didn't get any stitches from the last fight, right? You just kind of got it closed up?
Yeah, it's a very, very small cut.
Oh, I can see.
Yeah, it's just right here. It's tiny.
Yeah.
And part of the reasons of not getting stitches is that it's small, but the other one is that I'm fighting. So you can't fight with stitches, and taking them out early is like, why did you get them? So just taping it. But I had to have Karahat help me convince the doctor to just put tape on it. And when Karahat was like, she's fighting in a couple of days, the doctor was like, oh, yeah, no problem, just tape it. Like, there's this official rule about fighting in Thailand, but then there's the unofficial understanding of how it actually works, and this ring doctor is the ring doctor for fucking everything. So, he put up some photos of me. He said he's seen me 3 times and that I've been cut those 3 times, which is not true. I've been cut in 2 of them. But, the first time I saw him was up in Ayutthaya for Khanom Thom Day, and he let me keep fighting, and I won that fight, and it was really awesome. That was against the Duong Dao Noi fight. And then when he saw me in Chiang Mai this past month, he recognized me and full on before the fight said to me, if you get cut in this fight, I'm going to stop the fight. And I was like, it's 3 rounds. I'm like, it's 3 rounds. Who cares? And I didn't get cut, so it was fine. And then in this fight, it was only 3 rounds, but he let me keep going, which was really nice. But... so he put up a bunch of photos of him, like, first the bloody face of when he stitched me, and then the, like, tape from last night. And he tagged my regular Facebook page, so my mom got to see, like, a bunch of bloody face photos that are, like, a year old. It's like, damn it. Don't tag my regular page. It's like my grandma looking at it.
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah.
But you're going to do a blog post about that doctor, right?
I would love to, because he's the doctor for everyone. So I'm gonna have to ask him questions, like how long he's been a ring doctor and that kind of stuff. But he's very jolly. He's like the Santa Claus of stitches or something. It's very nice. He put up photos of Rung Ravi, who got knocked out in the first round of his fight, but he got like 17 stitches from like three different cuts. Which I actually didn't see. He, like, the doctor leapt into the ring because Rung Ravi had just gotten knocked out, and I had to, like, wait for him to come back out to get my tape. But I don't know how all of that happened, because it happened very, very quickly. So it's like a bunch of elbows flurry or something.
Well, at least the dudes have 3-minute rounds. So annoying to be fighting 3 rounds, only 2 minutes for each one.
It's so fast.
I mean, it's kind of crazy to me. Well, it's crazy. It's not crazy because I know how it works here and I've worked with these promoters, but like when you have these promoters who are like, yes, we want to promote female Muay Thai, that's our thing, female fighters, but we want you to fight shorter rounds with a face full of makeup in pink. Like, I don't think you really get it. Is this for me or is this for you?
I wish that I could see what the actual response was from viewers. Like, is it one of these things where Muay Thai fans are like, oh good, the like foxy boxing is up? Like, do they actually watch female Muay Thai more if it's like that, or do they not even fucking care and it's like that's just the way that it's promoted? Because you can, like, the amount of money they spend to bring these girls into Bangkok to do these like promo photos, which when I did it I didn't even see anything happen with those photos. They fly girls down from Chiang Mai, they fly them up from Phuket. Like, that's a lot of money for something that seems to not really be doing anything. So, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you know if they have any more of those events coming up?
Not that I'm aware of. They must. There's this new Thai Fight Lady, which is partially Palm, who does all of the PPTV and Asia Teak stuff, and then there's another guy who does PPTV, and they're coming together for this Thai Fight Lady.
Lady Fight.
Yeah. They want to have belts for the different weight classes, so it's basically a 4-woman tournament for each weight class. And I know that they've got some big names on that, like Teresa and Nam Don are both... I don't know if you're actually signed to that or you just agreed to do it. But it was supposed to start at the same time as Muay Thai Angels, so that was a problem. But now that Muay Thai Angels has moved, I think it's supposed to be starting at the end of February.
Who knows? Everything could change.
This is the thing with promoters, is that there are a few promoters who deal with women's fights, and then thousands who don't. So all of these cards are the same, like, 10 guys, you know, like...
Yeah.
Doing different variations on a single theme. So I think those are all 3-round fights as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See what happens with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's called Lady Thai Fight, but it's not run by Thai Fight. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah. I asked the promoter, I was like, is there a problem with you calling it Thai Fight Lady? And he's like, oh no, not at all. Like, it's not Thai Fight. But I'm like, it's the same name. Like, in my country, that would be a problem. And he's like, oh, no, no, it's not a problem. So I don't know if it's, like, not a trademarked name or because it's English, it doesn't matter or something. I don't know.
I wonder what they'll come out with next, because so far we've had Muay Thai Angels, Women's Fight, Lady Thai Fight, or Thai Fight Lady or whatever, or Women's Muay Thai Championship. What are they going to come out with next? There's only so many ways they can do that.
Women warriors. Oh, I don't know. So Emma, what are you listening to and watching and stuff like that?
Ooh. Well, actually, before we started recording this, we were just watching the finale of The Night Of.
Oh.
Yeah, I was meaning to watch that for ages. Well, we started watching it, but for some reason we watched like 3 episodes, loved it, but somehow stopped watching it for ages.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're just on the end of that. So as soon as we finish this, I'm going to go and finish that and then feel really lost. I've been listening to this podcast called Breakdown, which is, it's another like true crime podcast about this pretty high profile case where this guy left his child in the back of his car and he subsequently died. And it's kind of just trying to figure out if it was an accident or if he meant to kill his child. This all sounds incredibly depressing, but it's very, very interesting. I actually listened to a bunch of episodes of that when I did my half marathon on the weekend. It kind of got me through that.
Yes. Yeah. For people who don't know the badassness of Emma, she does a half marathon in the morning, then goes to work, then, like, on the weekend, she's, like, eminent air in the morning, then strength and conditioning, and then more work. Just, like, nonstop. I couldn't do it.
You gotta fit it in. Well, I think you could. I think you do more than most people. Considering you go and fight and then go have, like, a private session the next morning, training and shit.
Yeah, I guess it's the same work, but it's definitely different methods. I actually just did a vlog about this, about how the things that you're really passionate about, you're willing to suffer for, and so there are things that, like, clearly I'm not that passionate about them because I won't suffer them. Like, I will not do a half marathon.
It's really annoying that because it's so hot here and because it's in Bangkok and that doing these races, they have to, you know, close roads, that they start so fucking early in the morning. Originally, this race was meant to start at 5, which is early enough, and then a week before, they were like, we're going to start at 4 a.m., which is insane. So I have to get up at 3. Somehow made it through. Two weeks before that, I did a midnight run, and I did that with a friend, and we kind of realized I'd much rather get up at 3 o'clock than have to go and run at midnight, because at the end of your day, when you've already done all of your shit, because I'm still working out in the morning, I'd much prefer to get out of the way and then have the rest of my day.
Yeah.
But you kind of wind down, and you're like, oh, I have to go run 12K now. but I was looking for another half marathon to do pretty soon, but I guess because it's getting even hotter in the next few months, there's not so much going on. The only one that's coming up is a Bangkok night marathon in a few months. So I'll have to do that, I guess. And then go to work the next morning. But like you said, there's a thing I've been having at the CrossFit gym I'm going to, because in training for the half marathon, I would run from my house to the gym, and then I would do a CrossFit session, and then after CrossFit, they have, like, another class that's kind of a lighter version of that, and I would just do all of that and then go home. And the people I would meet in the different classes would be like, why the fuck are you doing that? Why isn't one of these enough? But it's just not. Like,
totally.
Yeah. Well, last week, when I was doing that run to the gym, there was that woman who showered at me from her car who pissed me off so much. Showered at me from her car window about why I shouldn't be running. Made me so mad.
Yeah, I haven't quite gotten used to the, like, cultural difference of people just telling you what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, or, like, yeah. It's not something I've gotten used to despite living here for almost 5 years now.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying to Kevin the other day that the other day me and Tu went to go and get foot massages. It was the day after my half marathon. And so we went to get foot massages, and then I sit down, and the lady who's doing me is asking me if I'm pregnant. Yeah, she full-on asked me if I was pregnant. And usually, I think if I had been asked this a while ago, I would have, like, politely, like, laughed and said no, but I did not do that, Sylvie. I kind of blew up at her and was like, what the fuck? No, I'm not. And she was like, oh, sorry. I was like, yeah, fuck you, sorry. And, anyway, then we're getting the massages, whatever, and I'm ignoring her. And then, you know how at the end of a foot massage, they'll get you to sit up so they can do your shoulders or whatever. And then the lady who's next to me, who's doing two, she literally grabs my arm and, like, jiggles the fat on my arm, right? And tell me how fat I am. One. And then, if that wasn't enough, she started flapping her arms at me like a chicken. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? What is wrong with you? How is this acceptable?
Like, I've been living here for a while. I've been called fat lots of times. I know it's a thing. I know that, you know, people talk about it more openly here, but that is not okay. That's a step over the line. Like,
I spent a lot of this week being mad. I won't lie. About both of those ladies.
There's definitely a boiling point where, like, you just can't censor yourself. Like, this is not going to be handled in a polite way. I get really sick of people, like, pointing out my tattoos as though I don't fucking know that I have tattoos. Yeah. There was this old man, fucking old Farang man, in front of me at Big C, and he kept looking at me. And I'm okay with that. Like, when people stare at me, I just, like, pay attention to the phone, and I'm like, yeah, I know you're, like, shocked by my thing, whatever. Like, just don't look at it. He decides, after, like, a good 2 minutes of staring at me, that this is a good time to actually start talking to me. So, this is, like, Big C is, like, the longest line I've ever been in my life. So, this old fart decides to say to me, you're such a nice young girl, why would you get those tattoos put on you?
Fuck off.
So I just look straight at him and I go, so old men like you don't feel invited to speak to me. And I'm like, yeah, you're up. Go fucking deal with your stupid groceries, you old man. And I'm like, I realize that my tattoos make me seem like a knock-laying gangster. Like, I seem like a bad, like, nasty person. And then I confirm that when I speak very nastily to these people. But don't be a dick. Like, I don't talk to people like that. Like, I know better than to, like, I judge people all the time, but I don't, like, put it on them. You know, I keep that to myself.
They don't need to hear my opinion.
Totally. When I go to immigration, I see Western old men in their 70s who wear the shortest shorts I've ever seen. Like, shorter than, like, Australian beaches short shorts. And they're men in a government office. I don't say anything. Everyone knows. Like, everyone's looking. Like, everyone's like, what the hell is going on? But I don't feel the need to say something except to Kevin when I come home.
It's like, yeah, usually I'll just take a picture and send it to you and be like, check out this owl. But I wouldn't go up to him and talk to him.
Yeah. I still laugh about your donut story. Like, every time I go by a donut shop, I laugh about your donut story about the box and the bag and them being out of my
Oh, it still makes me so mad. It still makes me so mad. But it did stop me from eating Krispy Kremes for a little while. So, you know, every cloud.
Every cloud has a silver lining, right?
Yeah. It was funny, even after my experience with the massage ladies and the fat comments, I spoke to some other people about it. Like, I spoke to some Thai women in my gym about it, and they were like, what the fuck? Like, that's not okay. I was like, right? I'm just checking, like, because I figured it wasn't, but, you know. And then some of the Thai women I work with, some of them tried to be so polite. They were like, oh, well, you know, sometimes they need to know if you have any, like, health issues before you get a massage, and maybe that's why they asked if you were pregnant. Like, no, she thought I was pregnant. That's why she fucking asked me.
You can get a foot massage if you're pregnant. For sure.
Right? Yeah. I was like, thank you, but no. Like, I already feel bad about it. It's fine.
Yeah. My age, the guys at my gym will ask me when I'm going to have kids. Very frequently, and I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, not today. It's not happening today.
That old lady, she did inspire me to learn some new insults in Thai, because the only ones I know were far too intense to say to an old lady in a massage shop. So, I don't want to, like, come out and call her a cunt face or something, because those are the only things I learned.
I was like, I need to learn some, like, witty but cutting comebacks.
What's one that's, like, a mid-range insult?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I only know the worst ones.
But most of the advice I got from, like, friends was, like, just tell her that she's old and she looks really dark and then she'll be really sad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that. That's, like, that's not okay.
You're like, just buy into racism. That'll be the, like...
Yeah. Like, no, I'm not gonna... Yeah. I'm not okay with that.
I mean, I'd rather call her a cunt face.
But then I couldn't go back to that place, and I really like that.
Well, gotta find a new masseuse now.
Yeah, and some new vocab. Yeah.
All right, well, I will let you go get back to the night of, and it's been very nice talking to you after so long.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for listening to Two Ladies in the Kingdom, where there's two of us again. And Emma, I'm sure I'll talk to you shortly.
Alrighty.
All right, take it easy.